This is the Jaguar Scoreboard Show. Jaguar Scoreboard Show. Presented by FanDuel. JP Shadrick and Mike Dempsey look back at today's Jaguars game, as well as the rest of the NFL, and take your phone calls. The Jaguars Scoreboard Show is brought to you by Brooks Rehabilitation, Farrah and Farrah, Geico, Baptist Health, Ticket Exchange, and by Everbank. The Jaguars Scoreboard Show, presented by FanDuel, begins right now.
Phone lines open on the FanDuel Scoreboard Show, 355-NFL1, 355-6351. Reaction after the Jags fall in Nashville to the Tennessee Titans, 42-39. The final, JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey. Offense, yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Big
defense,
way.
No.
No, no, no.
Special teams, extra points, nope.
Nope, not good.
So two out of three, nopes. Today.
Generally not going to win when only one phase of your team is playing good football or really good football, and they played great football offensively, really. I mean, I don't know what much more you could ask for. They didn't run it for a big number of yards, but T.J. Yeldon had a big game catching the ball out of the backfield. They overcame the loss of their second most productive receiver going into the contest. And, so kudos to the offense. All that's great. It wasn't enough today. As Allen Robinson said, we got 39. We needed 43 the way it turned out. And, Jason Myers, again, it pops up. You know, we mentioned this in the pregame, JP. You kind of gloss over that missed extra point last week because it didn't really factor into the final outcome of the game. And he had been making his field goals, but now, not driving the ball deep in the end zone on all of his kickoffs. And this is the supposed to be the selling point for him, the big cannon leg. Missed his sixth extra point, most in the league this year. So that's an issue that will continue to be debated. We'll see how the Jags handle it, if they handle it at all, if they give him a vote of confidence once again. And then defensively, early on I thought they were getting pushed around in the running game. The final numbers weren't that bad, but it was enough for Tennessee to start to build some momentum after that first three and out. Came up with the interception off the basically a drop right through the hands of Dorial Green Beckham, but that's okay.
Take advantage
of the opportunities that are there, and it's just one of those days that even with the offense driving them all the way back and overcoming and taking the lead, they gave it right back to them. And, the offense, you felt like if you gave the offense enough opportunities, they'd win this football game. They kept driving and driving. I know they couldn't, but they're backed up. They're going for it with no timeouts, and it's a tough situation. You can't expect your team to score a touchdown or points, period, every time you get the ball on offense. Quickly, let me give you a quick update.
Yes.
Just because this is a scoreboard show, four games in progress around the NFL. Carolina just got one on the board. They were trailing 14-0 to New Orleans. So the Saints lead that one 14-7 early second quarter. Also early second quarter, New England up 7-0 on Philadelphia. Tom Brady with a touchdown pass to James White. Kansas City and Oakland knotted at 7 with about 4 minutes remaining in the first half, and Denver just added a field goal, and they have a 17-0 lead over the San Diego Chargers currently.
And to make today worse for a lot of Jaguar fans, Blaine Gabbert threw a walk-off touchdown pass today to Smith, 71 yards in overtime. The 49ers beat the Bears 26-20.
To go with a long touchdown run that he had earlier that put him up, and or may have tied the game, actually, and he had a big emphatic spike. And let's say this, too, right? San Diego last week, what were they, 4 out of 5 in the red zone? Philip Rivers
correct.
With
yes.
touchdowns?
Yes.
Week before, they scored 3 points at home, okay, in the worst defeat in Philip Rivers' career. They're back home. Now, Denver's got a very good defense, but it's 17-0. So in basically 6 quarters of football, other than the 4 they played against Jacksonville last week, they've managed 3 points in their last 6 quarters and had their way. That just goes to show you where this Jaguar defense is right now, I think. One more piece of evidence.
Good point.
It's not too good.
Not good.
No.
467 they gave up today, yardage? First half, you're looking at scoring drives. The first touchdown drive for Tennessee was 12 plays, 80 yards, methodical, 6.5 minutes. Next drive after that, 10 plays, 90 yards, 14-6 after that one. And then the two-minute drive, in a hurry. They got right down the field, 9 plays, 75 yards. So 3 out of 5 possessions in the first half for Tennessee end in touchdowns. The other was the interception. A 3-and-out started the game. And even in the second half, you go 80 yards again, 9 plays. and then the game kind of unraveled towards the end there. But
well, even in the final possession that they had, you got the feeling that, you know, all they wanted to really do was manage the clock down to as little as possible and leave the Jags having to drive the length of the field. You got the feeling that if they needed it at that point, I don't know if the Jags defense had an answer for them, but they came up with a couple of big plays. The Telvin Smith sack fumble was a huge play. I mean, that was a tremendous
game-changing play. Yes.
Game-changing play in a day when your defense wasn't making very many of them. You know, what are you going to say? The result is what the result is, 42-39.
It's an L.
It's an L, another L for this team. 4-8 now with Indy coming in. The shame of it is Houston lost to Buffalo today, so the Colts are the ones sitting back going, man, we're getting separation on the division. And
They got to go to Pittsburgh tonight.
Now. I know. But up until now, I mean, everything played out as well as it could for them right now, and they do have to go to Pittsburgh tonight. I would think the Steelers are going to win that game at home, but I don't know if it really – at this point in time, the Jags need so many things to go in their favor, and they have nobody but themselves to blame, losing consecutive weeks to teams that only had 2 wins entering those contests. So there you have it. All right, 355-NFL-1, 355-6351, outside the 904 area code, at 800 in front of that. Shall we get Saqib to start things off on the south side?
We shall.
What a surprise he would be checking in with us today. Hello, Saqib.
Hey, guys. What's the tallest bridge in Jacksonville? I'm about to jump off it. Let me say this. Jason Myers has to go, right? Okay? And I'm tired of this confident stuff. You know what I mean? I mean, it's every week he's confident about this kid, and I don't see why he's confident about him. And Blake Bortles did a great job, but our defense is the worst team I've ever seen Jaguars play. I've never seen our defense play this horrible. And this has got to stop, man. 32nd in NFL. That's all I can say.
All right. Thank you, Saqib.
That's a frustrating day, man. I mean, you got a rookie quarterback on the other side. Not that he hasn't played well against some other teams this year, too, but a day like today is, you know, they're going to show this one for a while because of the long run.
Yeah,
and
the
what
87
he did.
Yarder. We've seen it replayed several times.
So get ready. It's not the first or the last time you're going to see this thing, and it's going to be a career highlight for a while for him, too. It's a special day for Mariota, too. So, it is frustrating. But like you said, this is turning into a trend for this Jags defense. I mean, they've given up some points, they've given up yards, and it's been something that, hey, you can't get a pass rush, right? They finally send some people, and
he breaks through
in the long run. Right. When they're finally sending somebody and getting back there, they can't contain him. It goes, I think, back to that. Ozer's been talking about it for a long time, and you got to get to the quarterback, especially in this kind of a game. They finally did that one time on the fumble at the end, but it's got to be more consistent. It's got to be without a blitz.
You know, JP, excuse me, the one that really bugged me late, I'm trying to look for it on my sheet here, it is full of all kinds of notes. That was a wild game. But you had the one against Mariota where it's 3rd and 10. You only rush 3, so you flood the zone with 8 guys.
It was over the middle.
And he hits it right over the middle, Delanie Walker. The guy, if you're going to triple cover anybody, you got 8 guys in coverage, okay? They're only running 5 guys at most in a pattern, so you can double 3 guys, you can triple some. I mean, how does Delanie Walker, how is he allowed to get the football on that play? And Mariota never even moved his eyes off him. He just stared him down the whole way and waited for him to come open, hit him for 20 yards, and those were the ones, to me, that were so frustrating. The 3rd and 7s, the 3rd and whatevers.
3rd and 11 a couple times.
Those were the ones, I think, that, look, it wasn't good all day long defensively, but the 3rd downs, just get him off them 3rd and longs. And you can live with some of the other stuff in between the 20s. They weren't able to get that done. Mm. All right, let's get Charles on the south side before we take a break here on the FanDuel Scoreboard Show. Hi, Charles. How are you?
Hey, how you doing, sir?
Good. What's up?
Hey, I hadn't even got over the 4th and 7 from Phillip Rivers from last week.
Ah.
After I cursed my TV and I had to repent, and cursed again, I had to repent, and then this defense today, I mean, I just can't understand. It seems like every time our offense get in the groove and they finally get the point, the defense, I just know the pattern that they're going to give it up on the other side. And we finally got the red zone situation fixed. Now the kicker can't kick. I mean, I don't understand, man, what's going on with this team. But I guess we just got to ride it out and try to stick it in there for next year, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, we're to that point now almost, it feels like, right? I mean, even if – no matter what happens tonight, even if they lose, you're 2 games back and all that. But Yeah, that's frustrating, man. Because the 4th and 7 last week with Phillip Rivers.
Oh, it rips your guts
out. You expect that kind of thing with this guy, Mariota, because he's got the wheels to do it.
If anyone's going to go 87, you would say that's the quarterback who's going to go 87 yards. Yes. He, Tyrod Taylor, there are a handful of guys. He's got wheels.
Michael Vick.
You don't expect that. Right. Yeah. You don't expect that with Phillip Rivers. And, I mean, you look at how poorly San Diego's playing offensively in the last 3 weeks with the spike against the Jags, and they go right back to the malaise that they were in. That really just goes to show you, I think, the state that the defense is in. And it really goes to tell you a lot about pressure. Now, the Jags, I think, were officially credited with 4 sacks today. Telvin had a couple. I think Odrick had one, and Alualu got one.
Well, there was
right?
one where the guy fell down.
Right, and Alualu got credit for that. But, okay, yeah. I mean, regardless, you got 4 sacks on the day. It wasn't like you're getting a lot of pressure on Mariota. And, I give him credit, too. He's played well as a rookie, but it's kind of tough to take when your offense has the performance that it did today. 6 for 6 in the red zone, and you still lose the game.
If you incur emergency flood damage at your home or business, don't sit on the sideline. Call the team the Jags trust, Surf Pro of Arlington and Surf Pro of Jacksonville South at 721-2230. Like it never happened. Well, it happened today in Nashville. 42-39, the Titans. A win over the Jaguars. More of your calls coming up. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. This is the FanDuel Scoreboard Show on Jaguars Radio. FanDuel Scoreboard Show continues after the Jags fall in Tennessee, 42-39 the final. J.P. Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, phone lines open, 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Kiss Game Day parking hassles goodbye with the JTA Stadium Shuttle. 5 convenient park and ride lots to choose from for Jags games. Tickets start at only $7. Visit JTAFLA.com for more information.
I get the feeling the air has left the sails, whatever cliche you want to give for the fan base out there. You know what I mean? Anger is better than apathy, right? And I'm afraid in terms of this season, for the final month, it's going to trend more towards the latter.
Yeah. I mean, it's, 4-8? You're coming home for a couple games. If you get one of those, then maybe. You get a break here or there from other teams. But in general, it is very bleak for this season's efforts.
Yes.
Put it that way.
Let's get Claude on the west side up next. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351 if you'd like to get in the FanDuel Scoreboard Show. Hi, Claude. How are you?
I'm doing good, man. Jacksonville played a good offensive game. But our defense, man, do you think there's going to be any changes, like on third down? Because it seems to me like teams are tending to throw towards Paul Lesney's area. On third down possessions and stuff like that. It seems like he's out of area, or he's not where, or they're running a play behind him. He's not being aware of it until the last second or something like that. I'll take your response off air.
All right, Claude. Oh, look, his strong suit's never been coverage, JP. I don't know. At least once today they had a matchup with Kendall Wright, which was
– That's not good.
I don't think it's schemed that way, but – who are you going to put out there right now? I mean, Scooter was hurt today, so he wasn't in the game. You're down to Armbrister. I mean, look, is it ideal to have Buzz Lesney out there? No, it's not, but I don't know what the alternative is right now. I mean, that's the thing. It's like we talked about all season long. Got to do better in the pass rush. Okay, well, who is going to get the job done? They see these guys in practice every day. And
if there was somebody better,
right,
they'd be out there.
Right, it's not a matter of, oh, we're going to give it the nod to Paul because he's a veteran. I mean, they're going to put out the guys. They want to win football games. I'd like to think that there was an answer coming. I don't know if there's an answer on the roster. And I watching the game just on the TV broadcast, I can't tell enough just through the first time through, you know, whether they were moving guys around trying to get a match up with Buzz Lesney and who he was covering every single time. But, look, his strength is moving downhill, running to the ball carrier. And, you know, when you get him in a game like this where it's more of a wide-open game, his coverage or lack thereof can become a liability. But, I mean, look, trust me, it wasn't just Paul Buzz Lesney that had trouble in coverage today.
That's right.
A lot of guys had trouble in coverage today. I'm not excusing Paul, but I wouldn't center just on that one particular aspect of things. Thank you for the call, Claude.
Let's go through some of these receiving stats. We'll get the next call in a minute. I mean, for The Tennessee Titans today, Walker, 8 for 92 yards, targeted 12 times, had a touchdown.
Which you knew was coming.
Yeah, I mean, that's them. Mike Mularkey's the coach. They're going to throw to the tight end. Green Beckham, 6 targets, 5 catches, 119 yards, along a 47 and a touchdown.
That's the guy that killed you today. Yep. That is the one you didn't expect to happen today. And on the touchdown, Sergio Brown has him dead to rights. He pinballed off like 3 different Jaguar defenders, but Sergio Brown had the best crack at him today and could bring him to the ground.
Wright with a bad wheel, 3 for 28 yards. Stevens had the initial touchdown of the game, 2 catches on the day, 11 yards. And Andrews had 1 for 10. Douglas 1 for 8 today. There's your Titans receiving breakdown today against this Jaguars defense, who had some issues in the coverage game.
All right, let's get out to East Arlington. Kyle, you're next up here on the FanDuel Scoreboard Show. What can we do with you, man?
Thank you, guys. I just want to say that obviously the first half, the defense was rather poor. But I also thought after the second half, they manned up. But what's interesting to me is special teams did not help us a lot today. Particularly, you know, it could all hinge. How do you miss an extra point and make us go for two? You lose that 3-point spread, that makes us all square right there. I did not understand that.
Yeah.
Well, look, yeah.
You know, I mean, there's not more to say about this.
No, there's not. How can you miss an extra point? He's done more than anybody in the league, right?
Period.
Now, unfortunately, you know. So I hear what you're saying.
I'm not picking on Myers. I think Myers is a very good rookie kicker. He's also saved a game or two for us as well.
2 game winners.
In all fairness, but is it technically, do we have a backup kicker if necessary?
No. No, it would be anger in an emergency situation if that were to be the case. But, yeah, that's the trouble with this thing, right? I mean, he's had 2 game winners this year, Miami and what was the other one? Where was it?
Baltimore.
Baltimore. And the Hail face mask game. And then
and even though in that Baltimore game, I remember thinking, JP, because he had missed kicks in that game. If he doesn't make that game winner, I don't know if he's around anymore at that
point.
True,
because he hit an awful knuckleball from like 26 yards in that game.
That was like a stay of execution kind of kick for him there. And now, you know, again, he had been making his field goals, though. But, he slipped that missed extra point under the radar last week and then 2 today, and they were critical.
Part of his question there might have been why – I don't know. I might have misheard him. Why go for 2 that early? And we talked about it at the halftime show. That's a philosophical thing,
it's
I think.
Early,
do you chase
right.
the points that early? But, do you wait? I mean,
you've seen your kicker miss 5 extra points too. And but, so do you send him back out there?
The other argument, hey, throw him back out there, make him just make this one.
Okay.
And just get it right out of your mind.
You know, I get that was kind of the argument with Toby Gerhardt at the goal line in London, right? I didn't get in the first 3 times. Give him one more shot, right? I mean, I don't know. You could go either way. To me, that didn't lose him the football game, going for 2 at that point in time. It certainly didn't lose him the football game. Now, had they gone for 1, then maybe later you can go for 2 to try to get back even. But he still missed another extra point later in the game. So, I'm not going to attribute it to that one thing. We've seen teams around the NFL, particularly like Pittsburgh, watch them tonight. I guarantee you they'll go for 2 at some point tonight when it's not necessary because they feel like they've got a good play.
They've been burned by kickers this year too.
You're right about that. You're right about that. And we see guys around the NFL. I'm not excusing Jason Myers. Look, when you say he's a good young kicker, he's a potentially good young kicker. He has some physical attributes, but for a guy who they said they were in field goal range when they got to the other team's 45, that was a little bit of hyperbole, right? That they felt he had like mid-60s range in ideal conditions. You need to be drilling the ball through the end zone every single time. And too often this year, the Jags special teams have given up big kickoff returns. When you got a guy with that kind of a leg, you shouldn't be giving up many kickoff returns, period. So it is, you know, we'll see. I don't think it's written in stone that Jason Myers survives on a week-to-week basis, although my bet would be that he probably does because they've been committed to him to this
point. And it's to this point of the season. You're the second week in December.
Right.
I mean, where are you going to go find a guy now?
Right.
You know? So we'll see. We'll be back in a moment. More of your phone calls, 355-NFL-1, 855-6351. This is the FanDuel Scoreboard Show on Jaguars Radio. The FanDuel Scoreboard Show continues. Phone lines open, 355-NFL1, 355-6351. Reaction after the Jags fall to the Tennessee Titans. 42-39 the final. Injury report presented by Baptist Health System. Changing health care for good. Rashad Green left the game with a shoulder injury. Pozlesny was holding his right hand wrist after a late tackle on Marcus Mariota, late in the game at least. And Aaron Colvin seemed to be hampered a bit with an ankle injury. We'll keep you posted if we hear anything come down the line from Nashville. But Gus Bradley speaking to the media on Monday, as always. We'll have the injury updates for sure then tomorrow afternoon.
All right, let's get out to Orange Park up next here at 355-NFL1, 355-6351, and Ted joins the program. Hi, Ted, how are you?
All right, how you doing, guys?
Good, thanks.
Good.
I mean, I just want to call him, you know, I think that we're definitely heading in the right direction. We got a young team, and I think we're going to be a contender in the next year or two. We got it's nice to have some good receivers. We haven't had good receivers in a long time. It's nice to have, you know, someone who has the potential of being another Jimmy Smith, and then you got Hearns who could be a McCardle. And you got a guy who can throw the ball. You know, I mean, he's young and he makes some mistakes, but he's definitely moving in the right direction, and I think we're moving as a team as a whole in the right direction. Just a few little kinks we got to get out of the way. What are your guys' thoughts?
Well, it starts with number five, right? I mean, you got the guy. You got your guy.
Yeah.
And you build everything around that. You got a couple of receivers in the second round last year with Marquise Lee and Allen Robinson. You got pretty fortunate to get Allen Hurns in here undrafted, and he's developed very well. But it's all about number five. Everything goes back to the quarterback. You got that guy. He can build around it. It might take a year or two to build everything around it. You'd like to help that offensive line a little bit, right, to keep him upright. And
that may be
game.
The one area you sure. want to add something. You're going to add a backup running back or so along the way. But
five, that's where it's at, man.
JP, there's a month left in the season, right? They play 16 games. Is that correct? Right.
That's last I checked, right? Yes.
They've played 12 to this point.
Do the math. Yes.
Yes. The previous record for touchdown passes in a season was 23, and Blake Bortles has broken it by four, right? By four or by three?
He's at 27 now, right?
He's at 27. He's broken it by four.
He was
right?
one short of it. And
right,
then he
so he tied it at
today.
23 and added four more
That's
along
right.
the way. So he's broken that record by four. He's going to obliterate most of the same. Now, I don't know about Mark Brunell's 4,300 yards, but he's certainly within
it's possible
striking distance.
If he throws a game like
today. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
I mean, he didn't even have to do a game like today. He could, you know, do probably 280s the rest of the way or whatever. But he is in range to break the single-season yardage record. He's obliterating the touchdown mark. He's got Allen Robinson, who's setting records now, who is a legitimate Pro Bowl wide receiver, in my opinion. Allen Hurns, had he not missed a game and had a down game or so along the way, might get some Pro Bowl consideration as well. You have Julius Thomas, who scored a touchdown for his third consecutive week now. You've got some weapons on this offense. You got TJ Yeldon starting around in the form. They can block better up front. I think the pieces are mostly in place for this offense going forward, and that is exciting. It doesn't solve the fact that they're 4-8, but if you're looking for reasons to be excited about the future, Blake Bortles' development has to be at the top of the list.
The single-season yardage record is, what, 4,300 and change?
4,300 and change in 96.
Blake Bortles now has 3,274 yards with four games to go.
So he needs about 300 a week.
Yeah, if
yeah,
that,
which I is mean, very yeah, doable. Absolutely. About 300 a week, we'll get it done. I don't know if he gets it or not. I don't know if it's even that important if he gets it or not. The fact that he could throw for $4,000 this year with mid-30s and touchdowns at the pace he's going right now, didn't have an interception today. It was every pass perfect? No, it wasn't. But my goodness, I thought, as the guys talked about on the broadcast, a lot of good decision-making out there, some really, really good throws. He's got a budding superstar in Allen Robinson out there. But don't think it's just Robinson. I mean, it's both sides of that connection that are making that happen right now.
And then some other old guys, too. I mean, a guy like Brian Walters is catching everything thrown to him right now. I think he's one of the tops in the leagues in catches per – target, I believe.
It'd be nice if they could keep Rashad Greene healthy for a stretch of games in a row, but he's going to add an element. I mean, they've got
– Lee back in involved a little
they've
more.
They've got pieces, you know. I mean, and that's the thing. Marquise Lee didn't really – not much of an impact. They tried to get him the ball early. Blake probably underthrew him on the one deep ball. Yep. Could have been a long touchdown very early on in that game. But, you know, you feel good about the pieces they have on offense. They may spend a little draft capital on the offensive line, but it's defense where this team needs to shore up. We knew that prior to this week, okay? But this week really put an exclamation point on that.
But at least you got the quarterback, man.
That's the most
important
thing. You
got that. Just build all the rest,
honestly,
man.
And I realize this is probably the smallest subset of Jaguar fans out there, but to the ones who called up this week to Tony Smith and I on Jaguars Today and suggested they needed to sit Blake Bortles in December because he's the reason they're losing football games because his interceptions are killing them. Yes, those interceptions have been killing them. And yes, they directly contributed to some losses, but you can't wipe out the fact that it's his productivity in throwing touchdowns this year that has had him in position for those interceptions to even matter in a lot of these games. Blake Bortles didn't lose this game today. Are you kidding me? He scored 6 for 6 in the red zone on touchdowns, throw 5, another one to Yeldon, running it in. And, I mean, look, is he a perfect quarterback? No, but as a work in progress as a second-year guy, anybody who thinks Blake Bortles is the problem, honestly – just doesn't know much about football, frankly. I mean, they don't, you know, or they just, for whatever reason, are have already got that mindset locked in, and that's what they're going to go with.
You're so sensitive, Mike.
Why do you say I'm taking it personal?
I'm
giving my opinion. Isn't that what we're supposed to do?
No, I agree with that.
All right.
That was a few days ago. You let it.
Oh, I mean, but think about how stupid that opinion is. Honestly, that we should sit Blake Bortles. JP, they had people calling
right.
this
it doesn't
week.
Doesn't make any sense.
Let's put Hennion in the red zone because Blake can't do it in the red zone. Can't and hasn't are two different things. He's a second-year player. After today, tell me what he can't do in the red zone.
Well, he scored every time in there.
Right.
Today.
Mean, look, it doesn't mean he'll do 6 for 6 the next 6 times they get in there either, but the potential is certainly there. That's all.
Show me a perfect quarterback, I'll show you one that's not. That's the way that works.
All
except
right.
Tom Brady. We're back in a moment with more of your phone calls. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. This is the FanDuel Scoreboard Show on Jaguars Radio. FanDuel Scoreboard Show continues after the Jags fall in Tennessee, 42-39, the final score. J.P. Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, phone lines open, 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Something just happened in the Saints game.
Is that the first time we've seen it happen now in the NFL? Remember, they changed the rule. You were not allowed to score on defense on a missed extra point before.
Right. So
they block an extra point, New Orleans does. It's going to call them North Carolina. New Orleans blocks Carolina's extra point, and Stephon Anthony, the rookie out of Clemson, scoops it and scores, goes the distance.
For two.
That may be the first time that's happened in NFL history, because this year is the first year that rule is in effect, and they go up by 3 instead of having Carolina tie the game as they are under 2 minutes in the first half.
There you have it.
Interesting contest right there.
I like it.
All right, let's get out to the phones once again, and Paul in Argyle has been hanging on the long, so let me make sure. Yeah, he's on line 2. Paul, you're on the FanDuel Scoreboard Show. Go ahead, please.
Thank you for taking my call. You guys do a wonderful job. You know, I watched the San Diego game last week, and I kind of, when I left there, you know how you see things with your eyes sometimes. Phillip Rivers did a wonderful job, but also think our coaches got out-coached. Even though I like our coach, and even if they lose the rest of their games, I'd like to see him come back. But let's get to the general manager real quick. This is old news and crying over spilt milk. The linebacker that plays for the New York Giants, they didn't pay him enough, and he went to the Giants.
JT
Do y'all
Thomas.
Remember his name?
Yeah, JT Thomas.
Yeah, bad move. I mean, when you're rebuilding,
you realize he's having a terrible year. He can't crack an egg and can't get on the field. He's not playing well at all.
Oh, okay. Well, then hell with that. Then I'll talk about something else because I thought it was a bad move letting him go.
Okay. Well, I would have liked to have him come back, but the Giants basically overpaid for a guy who's a kind of a fringe depth player. They paid him starter money to come in, and he's shown that he's probably not an every down player in the National Football League.
Okay, so I'm wrong about that. Now, Green, the receiver from FSU. Now, I'm a Gator fan, and that kid used to scare me to death whenever the Gators played him. Do you think he's going to turn out to be like Marques Lee, where they're not going to be able to keep him on the field? I mean, I know that's a dumb question, but what I'm saying is I'm so anxious to see what he can do as a receiver. I know he can do it as a punt returner. And I hate to talk about the draft already, but what do you think it's going to be, an all-defense draft? And I'll take it off the air.
Yeah, you got it, man.
I think there's a chance it could be majority defense, if not all defense. Sure, that's where you see. Look at today. I mean, you got to stop the other team at some point, too.
Rarely do you have all the picks going one side of the ball, but certainly the vast majority are going to defense.
Because you have eight picks this year, right? So they added a pick in a trade. So, yeah, it'd be tough to take all eight defensive players, depending on what happens in free agency, too. Now, I mean, that could factor into a lot of your decision-making in the draft when it comes draft time as well. You got to help the pass rush. You're going to get Dante Fowler back. You need somebody on the other side, either in free agency. That might be the play there. I don't know how many true pass rush types are coming out. Linebacking depth, you know, like you just mentioned in that phone call, somebody to back up or eventually take over for Paul Posluszny whenever he's done. I think that's certainly a target. How about a free safety somewhere? Anybody got a free safety that's available? Hey, we'll see. Because that's going to be a big target, too. So, yes, defense, all three levels of the defense.
Yeah, and guess what? The salary cap figures came out yesterday. They said it's going to shoot up over $150, probably going to go up about $10 million this year. The Jags are going to be over $40 million under the cap again.
Make it rain.
Make it rain on whatever defensive players that are potential playmakers out there. And the point about Rashad Green, I just wanted to touch on that Paul mentioned.
Yes.
I think the Jags would like to find what they have as well. Rashad Green, when, I don't know about you, JP. I see him in person. I can't get over how thin he is. You know, he's not a bulky guy, and that's probably why he's as fast as he is, but he has now gotten injured a couple of different ways, and, you know, I don't know. I mean, who's to say? You know, I always hearken back to Isaac Bruce's first year or two in the National Football League. People thought this guy was a complete bust because he had hamstring issues that were almost on the brink of forcing him into retirement. They were that bad, and he turned into a borderline Hall of Famer. So I'm not saying that's the path that either Marques Lee or Rashad Green will take, but it's way too early to say. You know, is Rashad Green going to be another Marques Lee? Well, we don't know what Marques Lee is going to be yet. Through 2 years, it's been disappointing that he hasn't been able to stay healthy, but he's got a lot of career still out in front of him. So let's hope he and Rashad Green can get an extended stretch of health.
I tend to remember one Jaguar rookie receiver last year was injured and out for the rest of the season. I think it was about week 10.
Yeah, that'd be
so.
Allen Robinson. Right?
Yes, he was out for the rest of the year. Guess what? He's doing fine.
But the point being, with him, he was highly productive going
even,
into that.
I think he played through it a week or two.
Right. Yeah. Let's get out to Fruit Cove, shall we?
You know what I mean, though.
I do. Let's get Eric up here next on the FanDuel Scoreboard Show. Hey, Eric, how are you?
Hey, doing good, guys. How you guys doing?
Good, thanks.
All right.
Yeah, I was just thinking, you know, I'm past all emotions, watching the game, and just kind of watching progress now. But hearkening back to last year, I heard it over and over was, if we could just be competitive in the fourth quarter or in a game, and you know, short of New England, yeah, I know, careful what you wish for, but I think we've been competitive and been in it in the fourth quarter in every game. You know, I'm looking for silver lining here, but
there's nothing wrong with that.
Absolutely.
No, I'm pretty happy with it. You know, I'll take it, and I know, you know, I want everybody back next year for the most part, so I think it's moving in the right direction. You know, it's...
You know, from that standpoint, you're right, though, because a lot of that... was Eric the talk last year? Man, we just like to be in games, right? And
I think Lamb even wrote an article on it. You know, I think.
But as we all know, man, you know, once fortunes change, then expectations change along with them. Once you're competitive in the fourth quarter, you say, "Well, why can't we pull it out in the fourth quarter?" Right? So I don't blame any Jaguar fan who's not satisfied because the team is 4-8. Okay, and they've had a 2-win, a 4-win, and a 3-win season, and now they're 4-8 through 12 games. So I totally get it. I'm not saying that Jaguar fans as a whole should accept that, hey, we wanted to see some improvement and we've seen it and that's good enough. But if you are of the mind like Eric is and you say, hey, I remember how bad it was when we weren't even competitive, at least now we feel like we've got a puncher's chance, I don't think there's anything wrong with that either. I'm not saying anybody should feel any particular way, feel however you like, but I don't think you should dismiss fans who have that feeling. That's the way they perceive it. And look, if the Jags win two more games out of their final four, JP, they'll double their win total from last year. Is that good enough? To a lot of fans, it's not, because you're doubling it from three. But to say that they're not improving, I think they're clearly improving. Are they improving fast enough for everybody? No, they're not.
At some point, though, you want to stop just being in the fourth quarter and you want to win these games.
Oh, no question.
That's the next step from here.
Absolutely.
But this has been the step to get to this point. Now, how long does it take to move on from this step to winning these games? I guess we'll find out or not this season. We'll come back in a moment with the final segment of the FanDuel Scoreboard Show. If you don't get in here, the fifth quarter show with T-Wig and Hacker is coming up next. Number there is 641-1010. This is the FanDuel Scoreboard Show on Jaguars Radio. FanDuel Scoreboard Show after the Jags fall in Week 13. 42-39 final. J.P. Shadrick, Mike Dempsey. Colts coming in Sunday.
Yes, they are.
Yeah. They'll play tonight. They're going to Pittsburgh tonight in a December road game. Hey, you know, this is a Pittsburgh team that's they've got weapons. They're playing well at some points. Hey, it's a good team that the Colts have a backup quarterback still in Hasselbeck, who's playing okay. He's not
He played pretty well last week. He was 300 yards and a couple of scores. I mean, he's done well. He's got rid of the ball quickly. But I think Pittsburgh beats him tonight, and that's a shame of it because you had everything else happen that you needed to. Houston lost, and if the Colts lose tonight, but you know, so you don't lose ground, but JP, you're losing weeks. That's what you're losing. You're running out of weeks. That's a division loss, and I mean, now Jags would have to run the table and have every other domino really fall into play. So look, it's always good to beat the Colts regardless. So that's what the Jaguars need to focus on. Hopefully Jaguar fans will as well, and focus on the fact that you got a quarterback wide receiver combo coming off record-setting performances, season-long, individual game, personal best, and you have two home games left. Come on out and support the team. And, you know, I'm not trying to be a shill for tickets. I'm just the people already have them. You got two chances left. You know how long that offseason is. You know how much you love the Jags. I know the season hasn't gone how you've wanted it to. Obviously, they're 4-8. You'd rather be 8-4 or 12-0. But, you know, let's see if they can't make a stand and, if nothing else, spoil the Colts' chances a little bit more.
I'll be a shill for tickets, 633-2000,
right.
Visit jaguars.com/tickets for next week, next 2 weeks, or Jags are home.
Let's get Dan on the north side in before we close up shop today. Nice job. Well, you know what I'm saying. I mean, I love the fact that there's so many passionate Jaguar fans out there, and I hate for them that it's kind of slipping through their fingers for the final month of the season now, and that's all I'm saying. It's not from the corporate standpoint of I'm just trying to trick you into buying a ticket or whatever, and I'm not saying you're doing that. You know, look, it's a great experience. I'm just saying for the people that have already invested, come on out.
Yeah,
that's all I'm saying.
I'm with you.
Come on.
Yeah.
Let's go to Dan on the north side. Hi, Dan. How are you?
All right. How you doing?
Good. What's up?
I just wanted to make a comment. I'm a Jaguars fan from day one, and first of all, I really don't think it was all of the kicker's fault, you know, on that on the Jaguars loss. But anyway, my first comment, I think it mostly was the defense fault, you know, for allowing the Colts to come down the field, you know, three times straight and score a touchdown. And the defense, the center, snapped the ball over the quarterback head. I think the defense mostly lost that game, you know, first of all, you know. And another thing.
We're waiting.
That's okay. Well, right. Yeah, the defense didn't have a great day.
No one clearly said that Jason Myers is the only guy responsible for the loss, but he has one job to do. He has two jobs, kickoffs and kick it through the uprights. And he had five opportunities to kick it through the uprights today on extra points, and he missed two of those. I mean, that's a terrible percentage, and – you know, he's got to be better.
I'm interested to hear what happened on the bad snap. It doesn't matter what it was. It was a bad snap no matter what in a horrible situation where you can't have anything like that happen. And then to compound it with a defensive score on that play to make it a two-score game again, that was the backbreaker right there.
Yeah, and that, look, the first one you're talking about where they got, I guess he was kicking the laces instead of the back of the ball. I'm sorry, man. Make the kick.
But – either way, they missed.
Right.
So this is a miss.
Look, Dan's right. Defense, the biggest culprit today, but there are Wisniewski. Look, you could probably point to some other guys on offense that, you know, drop passes or what have you. Nobody played a perfect game today, but certainly more of the blame in the vast majority goes on the defense. I find it hard to blame much on the offense at all today, with the exception of that Wisniewski snap, which granted a touchdown right there, gave a touchdown to the Tennessee Titans.
This season, when the Jags kick a field goal of 40 yards or more, registered fans will score a free medium sub with the purchase of a sub, chips, and drink. To register, go to jaguars.com/firehousesubs. No field goals of any kind today for the Jaguars, certainly none past 40 yards, so no free subs this week. That'll do it for us. The fifth quarter show with T-Wig and Hacker is next. 641-1010, the number for those guys. For Mike Dempsey, Linda Fortunato, and everyone involved, this is J.T. Shadrick. Thank you for listening. Jags fall in Tennessee. They're back at home next week against the Indianapolis Colts. This is the FanDuel Scoreboard Show on Jaguars Radio.